in the middle of a five-part series on, let's just pray, Lord Jesus, we honor you and glorify you. You did exactly what Aubrey said you did, gave your life for an undeserving world. And we thank you. It seems so shallow to thank you, but we glorify you and honor you. You are so good to us. We don't even have the capacity to grasp it, but I acknowledge it right now, and I thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in the middle of a five-part series that we're calling The Gift. And I guess, technically, we should be calling it The Gifts because it involves an exchange of gifts, but they're so interconnected that they're one, and so the gift is really appropriate. It describes the relationship that we have with the Lord. Perhaps not like any other, our relationship with the Lord is defined by this idea of the gift. And for the last two Sundays, we focused on our gift, our role in that, our part in the gift. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Adrian focused on the gift of obedience, and last week, Pastor Kerry talked about the gift of faith. And this morning, I'm going to focus on the other side. I'm going to focus on the Lord's side of the gift exchange, and we're going to focus on that gift. And so it was a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sitting over there, and Adrian is up here preaching, and I'm thinking about what the Lord would say about the gift he gave. And the sense I got very early on was, it's that word, gift. It's that word and how we think about it. So that's where I'm going. If you would, I want to start in your Bible, especially if you have a hard copy Bible. I'd like you to turn to Malachi 4:6. Malachi 4:6. Especially those of you who have hard copy Bibles. I know that a lot of you have electronic Bibles. But turn to Malachi 4:6. This message has nothing to do with Malachi 4:6. It has to do with what happens right after Malachi 4:6 in the Old Testament. Nothing. If you have your hard copy and you turn there, would you hold it up? What you're holding up represents 400 years of silence. The time between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. The Savior hadn't come. Messiah was delayed. Your life was in this. Your life was in the balance. And I don't mean that in some cosmic metaphysical way. I mean, your life in this period was literally in the balance. But then something happened. The gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. Old Testament ends. Hope hovers shakingly. But then God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. It hinged on a gift. Galatians 4:4. When the time was set, God sent his Son. The most important, the most wonderful, the most gracious gift anyone will ever receive. So what's the problem? I was hoping you could tell me. Just kidding. No, I do have a sermon prepared. What's the problem? George Bailey is the problem. Well, George isn't the problem specifically, but George is a perfect illustration of the problem. You've heard his story, right? A few months from now, you'll hear it again. George Bailey's story. He's guy who grows up in a sleepy little town of Bedford Falls, and he wants nothing but to escape the town and travel and see the world, but he doesn't, and he never does, and he sacrifices and sacrifices for other people, and he never gets to leave. And then one day, through the mistake of his old uncle, the savings bank they run together loses $8,000. Today's money, it's about $140,000. They didn't lose it. It actually was in the hands of the evil Mr. Potter. But it's gone, and George is going to be held accountable. And so he decides to kill himself. And he's about to kill himself, and an angel appears to him, a very clunky angel. And George says to him, "Matter of fact, I wish I'd never been born." And the angel says, "Okay, I'll show you what would have been like without you if you weren't here." And George repents. And something wonderful happens. And I know it's early for Christmas, but this is what happens.
"Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy and Lone!"
"New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you!"
"Mary! Mary! Mary!
Well, hello, Mr. Bank Examiner! How are you?"
"Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit."
"I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper."
"I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail! Merry Christmas! Reporters, where's Mary? Mary! Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house! Mary! 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 Have you seen my wife?
Mary,
Mary,
here,
Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!
Kids! Pete! Kids! Janie! Janie! Tommy!
Oh, let me look at you. Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?"
"We're looking for you.
With Uncle Billy." "Daddy!
Zuzu! Zuzu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel?"
"Fine! Not a smidge of temper."
"Not a smidge of hallelujah!
Hello? George! George,
Mary.
Darling!
Mary.
Where? George, darling! Where are you going?"
"Oh, George!
Mary. George! George!
George!
George!
Let me touch you. Are you real?"
George.
"You have no idea what's happened to me."
"You have no idea what happened. Well, come on, George. Come on downstairs. Quick,
right.
They're on their way."
"All right.
Come on. Come on in here now. Now you stand right over here by the tree. Right there. And don't move. Don't move.
What's happening?
Oh, I hear them coming now. George, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
What's happening? Oh,
who's that? Come, Daddy.
Come, Daddy.
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody in here.
George. Yeah, brother. Come.
George. Yeah. 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 So many friends. Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told some people you were in trouble with it. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions. Just said, George in trouble. And tell me, you never saw anything like it. Spread like fair.
Another run on the bank?
Here, George. Merry Christmas.
Now, don't push. There we are. The Lime Farm's on the right. Merry Christmas.
Come in, George. Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Here's some beautiful.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George.
Wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George. By the way, only 106 shopping days left. Beautiful scene. Iconic. In fact, that's where I came from. I just researched American culture, the most iconic gift-giving scenes. That's it. Beautiful, wonderful, but there's a problem. He deserved it. Sacrificed his whole life, gave up everything, stayed in Bedford Falls, helped people, and he deserved it. His friends came through. It's wonderful. But that is not what happened in the middle of your Bible. Remember, the underlying theme of this whole message is our concept of that word, gift. Think about how we give gifts. I will confess to you that I have sent Christmas cards to people because I got a Christmas card from them. Nobody in this room, and nobody who will ever watch this tape, of course, but I have sent Christmas cards to people for the sole reason that I got one from them. I had an old friend from work. She doesn't work there anymore, but that was her process. If you sent her a Christmas card, she would sit down and write you a Christmas card. That's how she did it. Very efficient. Very proud. We give gifts when people earn them. Graduation. Congratulations, you did it. Here's a present. Retirement. We give a gift. We give a gift because a date rolls around. We give a gift because Hallmark insists that we give a gift. Think about that. Think about what motivates us to give gifts. That's how we work it. It's kind of a quid pro quo philosophy. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You give me something and I'll give you something. There's nothing wrong with that. It just isn't what happened in the middle of your Bible. And if you think it is, if your concept of gifts in the limitations of our quirky world, if that's the meaning you place on the gift, then God misses something and you miss something. We would have been disappointed in that movie if the people of Bedford Falls didn't come through because George earned it. Think about that song at Christmas time. You won't get presents unless you're good for goodness sake. Whatever that means. Be good for goodness sake. That's our idea of gift giving, but that's not what happened in the middle of your Bible. Romans 5, verse 6. Look at it this way. At the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for ungodly people. Now, you know, that's really good news. I have been ungodly. I pursued ungodliness as a hobby. If you have ever been ungodly, if you have ever been anti-God, if right now you consider yourself to be ungodly, I have great news. At the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for ungodly people. Finding someone who would die for a godly person is rare. Maybe someone would have the courage to die for a good person. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. This demonstrates God's love for us. We did not deserve the gift. And we couldn't. We proved it. He arrived on earth and we couldn't get those nails in fast enough. That's how he is. We were busy insulting him. But he is so patient that he gave. We were inventing new ways to sin. But he was so gracious that he gave. We turned our backs on him. And he loved us so much that he gave. Undeserving. I love John Stott's phrase, the only thing we brought to our relationship with the Lord was our sin. You know, if you want to take the whole It's a Wonderful Life thing, if you want to overlay this theology over the plot of It's a Wonderful Life, you're not George Bailey. I'm not George Bailey. I'm Mr. Potter. Broken, lonely, bitter, helpless, ungodly. That's who I am. If you want to adjust the theology of Frank Capra, that's correct. Jesus came to die for a people who just assumed spit at him. That's a gift of mercy and grace like you'll never receive. I say this all the time, and I say this, so this is kind of a meta conversation I'm having with myself. I know what I'm talking about. Some people would have lived good lives without Jesus. They were raised in values and manners, and they would have lived good lives without Jesus, except when they died, they go to hell. I would not have lived a good life without Jesus. I probably wouldn't have lived a life without Jesus. I probably would not be this age, 44. I probably would not be. Should I have gone just a little bit higher? I wouldn't be 47. People. In Romans 6:23, there's this deal that's laid out. The payment for sin is death. That's quid pro quo. The payment for sin is death. But, one of the most important buts in the Bible is in Romans 6:23. But the free gift of God is eternal life through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. There is a quid pro quo. There is one. The sin world has a deal for you. Payment of sin is death. But on the other side of the butt is the free and open gift of God. Eternal life in Christ. Free and open. Free to anyone and everyone. Right now, no matter where you are. It's what that beautiful girl sang. You lived a sinless life, yet you were crucified. You bought our freedom on the cross. Forsaken for our sins, you died and rose again. Jesus, you are the Lamb of God. Your grace has broken every chain. My sins are gone. My debt's been paid. You gave your life away for me. You gave your life away. You gave your life away for me. Most wonderful thing you'll ever be offered. Completely free. Don't put a butt on that. Because I know how you think. Yeah, I've heard this before. It's completely free, but you don't know me. It's completely free, but you don't know what I've done. It's completely free, but I actually got saved before and I've fallen away. It's completely free, but I better get things right with my mother. It's completely free, but I don't have money. It's completely free, but I'm not good enough. It's completely free, but I'm worse than anybody else in the room. It's completely free, but if you knew who I was and if the truth came out, then all the deal would be, no. Completely free. That's why it's so important that you don't bind God's free and gracious and wonderful gift in the shackles of humanness, because they won't be bound and can't be bound. Two final thoughts. This is interesting. I'm giving final thoughts halfway through. I guess I can do that. I'm up here, so I'm giving you two final thoughts. Who knows how long they'll be? They may be long final thoughts, but they are two final thoughts. If you're keeping score at home, I love gift giving. I don't want you to leave here and accuse me of besmirching the idea of gift giving. If you use the word besmirching, I don't want you to accuse me of that. I love gift giving. It's important. I love to get gifts. I love to give gifts. Our daughter Suzanne has a particular gift at gift giving. She gives really good presents. Creative, sensitive, all that stuff. You remember Carrie and I wrote this book together called The Stress Factor. Okay? And there's a paragraph in the book, and I'll read it to you. And it isn't only about being grateful, but practicing it as well. Feeling a sense of gratitude is important. It starts there. Be thankful for God and His love, for the people around you, for the blessings in your life, for life itself. But an important exercise is expressing gratitude as often as possible. For your Father, that starts with praise, worship, a life laid down, real surrender in its greatest, most wondrous sense. Love someone? Say it. If you appreciate a person in your life, tell him or her, and specifically why you feel such appreciation. Appreciate a gesture? Mention it. And if you're the type who isn't always comfortable with face-to-face interaction, although that's the ideal, there are multiple ways to communicate gratitude. Notes, emails, texts, Facebook messages, tweets, blogs, flowers, candy. You get the idea. Perhaps if you've read or are reading a book that's helpful to you, send the authors a nice pie. We like pie. I bet I got 10 pies when people read this book. I know that anybody who made it to page 142 in The Stress Factor, I had some pies. My favorite is strawberry rhubarb. Nobody wrote that down. I saw no notes. His favorite is strawberry rhubarb. Don't give me a pie, please. I can't use a pie. I'm not humbugging that. But there is a greater example of gift giving that reflects the gift that you can find here on earth. Let me show you these photos. On the left, that's Richie Knight. In the middle, that's Ian Ellis. On April 23rd, 2013, Ian Ellis murdered Richie Knight. Police say that Richie wouldn't join the gang that Ellis was in, so he killed him, stabbed him to death outside the Linda Vista Recreational Center in San Diego, California. The person on the right is Tamika Brown, Richie's mom. It's about something that Tamika did at the sentencing hearing for Ian Ellis. If you want to look for shadows and reflections of God's gift on earth, Tamika Brown is a good place to start. She did something at the sentencing hearing that the judge said she'd never seen before. And before I show you what Tamika Brown did, I want you to think, what would you do in her situation? If someone murdered your precious boy, what would you say to that person? What would you do to that person when you were face to face? I think what Tamika Brown did is an example of what gift giving looks like in God's likeness on earth.
Only God knows why I'm not angry or why I don't hate you. Would it shock you to hear that I love you? I thought to myself one day, a while back, don't lock him up. Sentence him to my home. Let him be my son. But he took away from me. And I want to sing this song. So you think that you can't make it through? Just remember, my God cares for you. Don't you worry, don't you fret, because the bed you lay in, my Savior, he's there for you to have met. Don't give up, don't give in. Today make Jesus Christ your number one friend. So I will close by saying, although we are free to choose, we are not free to choose the consequences of the choices we've made. So now that you know who you are and how purposeful your life can be, you have a new choice of new life. Choose Jesus Christ today. If you can't do anything else, please do that for me.
Amen, Tamika. You want to give like God gives? Make a sacrifice. Hold someone harmless who harmed you. That's what he did. Hold someone guilt-free who deserves guilt. That's what he did. Make a sacrifice. That's what he did. That word, in fact, that word forgive is really interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you look at the etymology of forgive, there's give in there. So why is for there? What's for there for? Not for therefore, but what's for there for? I've really let you in a lot of behind-the-scenes preaching stuff during the message. The for in the formation of forgive just kind of means completely. To forgive is to give completely. There's nothing wrong with a Christmas card or a tie or a strawberry rhubarb pie. But that isn't what God's idea of a gift is. Second, remember I said two final things? That was the first final thing, second final thing. I thought for a long time about why this would be a big deal to God. Why would it be important to him that you understand the nature of his gift as opposed to how we sometimes think about gifts and giving? Why would that matter to God? And I think it's because if you reduce your concept of the gift that you find on the cross, if you dilute it or pollute it in terms of what you think it should be, what earthly grace is like, or what worldly mercy is like, then you will miss. You'll miss the power of his promise. He promises forgiveness and mercy and grace, and you will restrict it. You will put a but at the end of it. But if you see the goodness of God in Jesus on the cross, when you were at your low point, when you deserved it least, you couldn't have deserved it or merited it less, and there he is hanging on the cross for you. If you will understand that, you will grasp the power of his promise. And the promise of his power in your life, you'll stop trying to earn what you hope to be a morsel. Maybe, God, if you think of me, you could throw something my way. Think of you. I wake up thinking of you. I thought of, remember the middle of the Bible, son, daughter? You motivated that whole thing. That gift was for you because I love you. I loved you then. I love you now. I'm going to love you next week. You can't depend on anybody like you can depend on me. And that, I don't know about you, but that's a gift that I desperately needed in my life. You know my story. I was not raised a believer. Lived the first 19 years of my life fighting God and had some really heartbreaking things happen to me, and I wanted to kill myself. Kind of a George Bailey kind of thing, only I didn't deserve to be showered with gifts. But I tried to cut my wrist with an old Pepsi bottle that I found in the woods behind a rest stop in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Don't ask the details. So I'm hacking at my wrist with this half-inch thick piece of glass. Got a bad bruise, had a headache. I drove back to Harrisonburg and I said, okay, Lord, enough's enough. You see what my life is like. You see this pile of garbage that I have made of my life. I have nothing to bring to you, but if you're there, I didn't know to pray any different than that. If you're there, do what my friends and the people I know have said you will do. I can't conceive of what he did with my life. You think I ever dreamed of Aubrey Charette? Do you think I could conceive of a beautiful girl like that loving me? Do you think I even had that in my puny little... I thought maybe if he could get me $50, I'd be okay. I had no idea of the gift of God that was coming for me. The faithfulness, the mercy, the repeated forgiveness, the repeated forgiveness. Couldn't have conceived of it. So I'm not telling you this stuff because I read the Bible or because I'm supposed to preach today. This is my life. The gift of grace that I couldn't have earned, I didn't earn, didn't know how to earn it. But Jesus said, here. And my life has changed. I give him glory, I give him praise, I give him honor. Let me close with Psalm 46. What's the response to this message? That's between you and the Holy Spirit. You know, you can watch the tape from 2 weeks ago, you can watch the video from last week, and come back next week. All I'm telling you is God's offering you something, no matter where you are. It's free, it's a gift in Jesus. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And this great and mighty and awesome God reaches down and offers you the gift. Adrian.
You bow your heads with me this morning. I don't know about you today, but I need to be still for a moment and just allow the Lord to speak to my heart. How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. Father, today we don't deserve to even be your slave. I think of the story of the prodigal son who just wanted a place, a position, a servant, a slave in his father's kingdom after all that he had done. And yet, while he was a long way off, the father saw him. He was not going to be a slave. He was not going to be a servant. Because that was his son. And he came running after his son. And Father, I don't know what that means today for your sons and daughters in this room, but I believe someone today needs to receive this gift. Maybe for the first time. Maybe in a new way. Maybe it's a teenager, a young person in this room that their faith has been based largely on what their parents say, and today they're making the choice that it's going to be real for them. Maybe it's somebody that's been running, trying to earn this gift. And today, Lord, you say, no, this is freely given. Stop trying to earn it. So if that's you today, I just want to pray with you. I feel like it would be disobedient today to not allow you to receive this gift. Maybe for the first time, maybe there's just something in you that says, I need to recommit in a new way to the Lord. So if that's you today, I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to even raise your hand. But I want to pray for you today. And I want you to pray along with me. Father in heaven, we confess today that we are sinners, broken, in need of a Savior. That there is nothing, Lord, there is nothing we can do to earn your salvation, to earn your grace. It's freely given. You gave your life away. And so today, each of us in this room stands at a crossroads where we have a choice today. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now that would choose to receive that gift. maybe for the first time. We turn from sin, we turn from our brokenness, and we turn to you, and we receive your gift. We don't deserve it, we can't earn it, but we say thank you, Lord. Thank you that when you were on the cross, you were thinking of me. That if there's no one else in this room today, you would have come for me. Thank you, Lord. We're overwhelmed. We receive your gift today in faith and choose today to walk in your freedom, in your hope, in your deliverance that's found in this gift. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a gift we've been given today. Well, this morning we're going to close the service in a little bit of a unique way. Every time about this fall, it's time of the year about this time in the fall, we like to take a special opportunity to pray a blessing over a certain group of leaders that do a lot in the life of our church, and those are life group leaders. And so at this time, I'm going to ask our life group leaders to come. And not just our life group leaders, but our student ministry leaders are coming because they represent our life groups for our young people, our middle school and high schoolers. And so if you'd come and stand along here at the front, none of them want to do this. That's why they're great leaders. They don't desire your recognition. But I think it's appropriate, leaders, today as we talk about the gift. We've talked over the last couple weeks about the gift that God asks of us, of obedience, of faith. And you embody that today. You guys spread over this way so everybody can fit. Alex and Sarah, you come over this way. Don't be scared. We won't make you come on stage or anything. This is a good-looking group. And so I'm going to pray for them today, but church, I know that you want to pray for them today. Because some of you, these are your life group leaders standing up here today. Some of them up here, these are the leaders that lead your middle school or high school student in a life group every Sunday night. And so I know that as I pray for them today, your hearts are moved. Your hearts are moved to be part of a church where leaders say, yeah, I'll obey. Thank you, Lord, for your gift. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray for these leaders today? And if you would, as you sit there, church, maybe you would just feel moved as we pray to just lift your hand and say, Lord, I pray this blessing. I want to get in on this blessing over these leaders. I want them to know that I'm standing with them. I want them to know that I'm for them. I want them to know that I'm grateful for them. And so that as we pray, church, if that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, I agree with this prayer. Father, I pray over these leaders today. I am so grateful for their yes to you. And Lord, the reality is in light of your gift, our response is yes, and we don't often know what that yes means. But we say yes, and we let you decide what that means. And so for each of these leaders, I thank you for their yes. I thank you that their yes has brought them to a place of leadership, of saying, Lord, I don't know that I'm good enough. I don't know that I've got everything that it takes, but I'm willing. And so we today are indebted to these leaders that would just say yes to you. We get to experience the fruit of their ministry. And so we are grateful today. But Lord, I pray a blessing over them today. I pray a blessing over their homes, over their families, over their workplaces, Lord, over the people that they come into contact with. Lord, I pray that you would so fill them with your Spirit that wherever they go, whatever they do, Lord, you would use them for your glory. Be with them in their groups and the times that they're leading, Lord. I pray that they would not draw people to themselves. That's not what you call us to do. But you say that when you are lifted up, Lord, you will draw all men, all women to you. And so that is our job as leaders, Lord, to draw men and women to you, the one who has given us so much. We are so grateful today for these and for the others they represent, Lord. In this coming semester, across all three services in English and Spanish, in our students and our young people, we'll have over 700 people involved in life groups around this community, Lord. And that's hope. And that's hope, Lord, and we are grateful. We pray for others, Lord, that will come, that will join in during this upcoming semester, in this upcoming year. May they find hope and freedom only in you, Lord. We praise you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you join me, church, in giving thanks for these leaders? Amen. All right, you're off the hook. You can go sit down. Good job. They can run quickly back to their seats. Hey, we're getting ready to close. Thank you for being here this morning. I've been moved today. I think you can tell. Snotting all over myself up here. But God's been speaking to me. And so I pray I'm not the only one today. But that the Lord has been speaking to you today. And if he has, we always want you to know that there's somebody at the well. I know that's not, I'm not supposed to say that first, but I'm going to say it now. We always have people that would love to agree with you in prayer. Maybe today you made that decision to say, I received the gift, maybe for the first time, maybe in a new way. One of the best things you can do is just find somebody to celebrate with you or to agree with you in that. And so if you would stop by the well, we have people that would just love to go on record and say, yeah, praise the Lord. Today God did something in your life and we celebrate you in that. Couple reminders as we prepare to close. We have our Hope for Israel concert, our Israel night, coming up with Paul Wilbur. You've been hearing about this. We've already had about 400 tickets reserved for that evening, if not a few more. Go to the website and reserve your seat. There is no cost, but you do need to reserve your seat in order to be there that night. Also, please don't forget the rest of that weekend. We're really excited for what we're calling our Go Weekend. This is a special weekend that we're giving emphasis to just growing spiritually and being challenged and being changed. We have these postcards here at the front and at the info desks, just an opportunity for you to plug in. We have events all weekend for kids, for teenagers, for young people, a prayer breakfast for our men, and James Sproul is going to be with us, and John and Mandy Lawson will be leading worship. Please consider this time. I know the fall is busy for families, but we've done everything we can try to do to make this conducive for you to come. Jump in, be a part in any way you can. I promise you will not regret it. Last couple things, we want to make sure, if you're new or visiting with us today, that we have a gift, and we want you to know that. If you'd stop by the Holiness Under the Lord sign there at the back, there's no obligation, just a free gift, something for you. Finally, every Monday night here, we have Celebrate Recovery. This is a chance for you to find help in the midst of your hang-ups and habits and hurts. We invite you. What an awesome opportunity that is. Would you stand with me this morning as we prepare to go? Father, we're overwhelmed and we're humble and we're grateful at the gift. I pray we couldn't escape that this week. I pray we wouldn't be able to get away from that. I pray we wouldn't be able to get over it. Maybe we're lying awake tonight and we can't figure out why we can't sleep, but I pray it's because we remember the gift and it changes us and it challenges us and it causes us to live differently this week because of what you've done for us. And we can't deserve it, Lord, but it changes us. It does something when we remember that Jesus gave, he gave his life away for us. We are a changed people today. We are a grateful people. In your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.